Right.
Open your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 17. That's one of the Bibles. Matthew 17. And someone please read for me verse 14 to verse 21. And the title of the sermon today is Faith Like a Seed. Can we say it together? Faith like a seed. Let's say it again. Faith like a seed. Matthew 17, verse 14. Please open your Bible. Verse 14 to 20. Okay, if you'd like to read, just put up your hand and I'll pass you the mic. As usual, I would like, you know, everyone to read something. So we'll go around. Matthew 17, verse 14 to verse 20. Yes, who would like to read that? Is that wrong?
Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 to 20. At the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was waiting for them. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him." Jesus said, "You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him. From that moment, the boy was well. Afterward, the disciples asked Jesus privately, "Why couldn't we cast out that demon?" "You don't have enough faith," Jesus told them. "I tell you the truth. If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible."
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. That's very, very well read. Hallelujah. Now, when you read a story like this, it is possible to miss some of the things that Jesus said. We looked at a bit of this at Home Fellowship. And today we want to unpack this scripture. Please, you need to follow very carefully because you need to understand faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody have faith here? Put up your hand. Hallelujah. Anybody believe in God? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know what one day I read in the Bible? It was from James chapter 2. He said, "You believe in God? Well done. Let's go to James. I want to show you something in James. You know, I've drifted already. You already see that. James. James. I read that and I'm like, wow. James. Go to the book of James. Does anybody help me to find that? James, where is it? What I just quoted? St. James, he said that you believe in God, even the devils believe. Yes, I found it. James chapter 2, verse 19. Hello? James chapter 2, verse 19. If you found it, let me know and I'll give you the microphone. Yes, someone was not read. Sister T.O.A.
Don't worry, we'll go around. Don't worry. We'll get to you here.
James 2:19. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble.
You believe that there's one God? Well done. Please don't tell your neighbor, tell them well done. You believe that you believe in Jesus? Answer me, you believe in Jesus? Well done. Hallelujah. I was talking to my son and we're talking about one of his friends in school. And I was like, you know, if he's not a Christian, he needs to be a Christian. And Kevin said, like, you know, well, he believes in Jesus. The fact that you believe in Jesus does not mean you're a Christian. Hallelujah. Even the devils believe. and they tremble. Hallelujah. Let me explain to you. Don't misunderstand. There's a difference between believing something in your head and believing it in your heart. You see, the things of the heart requires commitment. Hallelujah. If someone loves you with their head, they might like how you look. They may like your hairstyle. They may like the shape of your leg or your wonderful shoes. Yeah, it's in their head. Hallelujah. But when someone loves with their heart, they are committed to you. Hallelujah. And that's the difference. The devils believe, yet they still rebel. Yes, they still do evil. But they believe that there's one God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Go back to Matthew 17. Our text. Go back to Matthew 17. Okay, that was a bonus. It was not part of the text. Matthew 17, I'm sure that God will show you something important today. So the way the story goes is that, you know, they brought this boy to he had epilepsy or whatever, and, you know, sometimes he'd like to throw himself into the fire or sometimes into the water. When you see that, it's not a normal problem. It's abnormal. Let me tell you something. I want to give you a code. If something looks abnormal, it is what? It's abnormal. You don't need to deceive yourself. Just accept. If it looks abnormal, it's abnormal. So don't try to apply normal solution. Hello? If it's looking abnormal, it is what? If it's not look okay, it's not okay. That's why it's not looking okay. It means that you need to do something else. Pay extra attention. If it's not looking okay, pay extra attention. Are you with me? So, this boy, they brought him, and at this moment, Jesus was on top of the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And how many disciples did Jesus have? How many of them?
12.
12. He had 12 apostles. He had many disciples, but he had 12. There was a special set 12. So, the top three, Peter, James, and John. You know, in the disciples, not everybody the same level. Did you know that? There was 12, and there was three, and there was also one. Do you know there was one? Who is the top disciple of Jesus? Start with you. Top disciple of Jesus.
Peter.
No. What? The top disciple of Jesus, Agnes? It's not Peter.
John.
John. If I was called John the Beloved. He said, if you read the book of John, he said, the disciple that Jesus loved. Have you read it? He said, the disciple, the one that is writing this letter is the disciple that Jesus loved. In fact, if the supper, the last supper, he said, Peter told the disciple that sat, usually sits near him on his lap, that ask him who would betray. Hallelujah. And that's why John was the last of the 12 to die. He wrote the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even in our walk with God, we can be at different levels of, you know, intimacy. Be at different levels of intimacy with God. But it's not just all up to God. It's also up to us. The Bible says that if you seek, you will do what? You will find. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Hallelujah. So Peter, James, and John were up the mount, and they were then left nine others. Yeah, and that was when this man came and brought the child, and the disciples, you know, tried, you know, to cast this demon out, and they did not succeed. Like I was saying at the Home Fellowship, it was not the first time they were going to cast the demon out, because if you read the Bible says that he sent them out. Yeah, and they came back and said, even the demons, even Judas, you know Judas casted out demons? You know? Yeah, because they all came back. He said, you know, give them power. I give you authority. You know, and nothing we ought. And they all went and they came back and said, even the demons are subject to us. So they've done it before. And then the man comes and they tried. It did not work. So they were really surprised at themselves. Now, let me prove that they've done it before, because if they've not done it before, they will not be that surprised. In fact, they might not have attempted. Are you with me? They'd done it before, so they were quite surprised. Why didn't it work this time? And what did Jesus say? Go to verse what? Matthew 17, verse 19. and 20. Let's read that again, someone else. Matthew 17, verse 19 and 20. Yes? Matthew 17, verse 19 and 20.
Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto the mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
Amen. I know that when you are reading this, you are thinking about they were casting out a demon. But the question is, what is your demon? Your demon is anything that is oppressing your life. Hello? Are you with me? Anything that is oppressing your life is what? The demon. So why could they not cast out the demon this time? He said because of your unbelief. Sarunke, you read a version. Let's add that version again.
Verse 19. Afterward, the disciples asked Jesus privately, why couldn't we cast out that demon? You don't have enough faith, Jesus told them.
It's because you don't have enough faith.
Now, I want to tell you a very important statement there. That is the reason for all impossibility. I'm giving you the very words of Jesus. You see, if you go around and you start making excuses and reasons, other reasons, you are just beating about the bush. Yeah? When there is an impossibility, yeah? The reason behind the impossibility is because of unbelief or not enough faith. Yeah? It can apply in many different ways, but that is the standard general reason. We can break it down to many other reasons, but that is the standard general reason. Because Jesus said, then he proceeded to say, if you have faith, let's have it again, verse 20. I want to show you a very important thing there, because this is about any mountain in your life. Any. Matthew 17, verse 20.
And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove henceforth to yonder, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
How many things?
Nothing.
I don't know. You know, when we read the Bible sometimes, we read out of familiarity, and we miss the point. Jesus is using very absolute words here. Hello? He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be removed, be cast, and it will move. And nothing. How many things?
Nothing.
So that's why if I come to your pastor and say, the reason for impossibility is not enough faith, you have to understand that Jesus defined, he said nothing. So the only reason why it becomes impossible is not enough faith. But then, for us to understand, we need to understand faith. Because if you don't understand faith, you will not understand not enough faith. Hello? If you don't understand faith, you will not understand not enough faith. Hallelujah. So we look at the topic today, faith like a seed. I just read verse 20 again. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly, another version will say, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I'm saying to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. First of all, before I explain faith, I want to understand that he did not say you will say to any mountain. Hello, read your Bible. Did you see any mountain there? What did he say? It's a specific mountain. And it's not just any specific mountain. It's the mountain that becomes a hindrance to you. See what I mean? Hallelujah. Hello? If that mountain is not a hindrance to you, your faith is not activated to move it. Because there's no purpose. Are you understanding? There's no purpose. God is a purposeful God. Hallelujah. It's a mountain. It's a specific mountain that has become an hindrance to you. Hallelujah. That's why he said nothing shall be impossible for everybody. No. Did he say nothing shall be impossible for everybody? No. Nothing shall be impossible for every Christian? No. It's very specific. Nothing shall be impossible for the person that has the faith. Are you with me? So my question is this. Since we know that things become impossible when there's not enough faith, and we know that all we need is the faith as a grain of mustard seed, let's have a look at a mustard seed. So who will help me? Sister Ronke, Sister Mary. Give everybody a grain, just a grain of mustard seed. But be careful because I'm going to give the rest as a prize. By the way, this mustard seed is a spice. You know, it's used as a spice, so it can be eaten. You can actually put that in your mouth. But open it carefully and give someone, each person, a grain of mustard seed. We want to look at the mustard seed. Because if Jesus is referring to this, there's a reason and there's a meaning. And if we don't understand the reason and the meaning, we will never understand faith. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, what is Jesus talking about? You know, like my sister asked me on Friday, say like, how can Jesus say it's because you don't have enough faith on one hand, and the next moment, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed? Because if you don't have enough faith, why should he say faith as small as a grain of mustard seed? A grain of mustard seed is not much, you see. I'm sure it cannot take you. Stop up. Can he feed you for lunch? Okay, breakfast? Yeah? A snack? No. So if you say that the problem is that you don't have enough faith, next he says, you know, you have faith as a grain. Is a grain enough for you to eat? No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. And all the time, the Lord is good. I just let that, I think I will progress as that run. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Can I just ask a question why that is going around? My question is this. What is the difference between a grain and a seed? Now listen. You read, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. So there are two different words, yeah? So what is the difference between a grain and a seed? I have someone here. She's into farming. She's a nurse, but she's into farming, so let's have a go. What's the difference between a grain and a seed? Yes? Yes.
Oh.
There can be similarities. What is the difference?
The grain is a fruit from the seed. A grain comes from the seed.
All right, I need a better answer. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. It's a good answer. What's the difference between a grain and a seed? Now, there can be similarities, so I know what I'm aiming at. What's the difference between a grain and a seed? There can be similarities, so don't be confused by similarities. I just need a difference. Yes?
A grain is smaller than a seed, isn't it?
No. I need a better answer than that. Yes?
A grain is like the measurement. It could be a grain of anything.
No. Don't. It's not complicated. No, don't go high tech. Go low tech. A grain and a seed, they are similar. So settled, they are similar, but there is a difference. Yes. We come to you. Yes.
A grain is from a seed.
Yes, that's a good answer, but it doesn't give me the difference. Okay. After that, I'll give you a clue.
A grain is a subset of a seed.
If you get the answer, whoever gets the answer gets the spice. You take it home.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes? What did you say?
I said a grain is a subset of a seed. A seed could be anything. So a grain is like a specific.
Yes. You are very close. In fact, you are much closer than everybody. Pamela, what's the difference between a grain and a seed?
The grain becomes a seed when it's on the ground.
Okay, no, that's not the perfect answer I want. That's not the perfect answer. Okay, can I give you a clue? What is the difference between the seed of an orange and the seed of a corn? Not forget about size, forget about shape, forget about color. There's a major difference between the seed of an orange and the seed of a corn. And that's nothing to do with their size or color or shape.
An orange has more seeds than a corn. So,
okay. You didn't hear that? You know what happened to us yesterday? The seed, what's the difference between the seed of an orange and the seed of a corn? Is that for you?
The seed of a corn is edible, but not that of an orange.
Thank you. You just eat it, the nail on the head. You want to qualify it?
So, you can eat a grain, you can eat a seed.
Yes, thank you. Okay, Stavrida, this is yours. You want it, but you should give us some to spice up our food. You understand? Are you with me? A grain is a seed. 100%. The difference is that it can be eaten. Yeah? Your cereal are all made from seeds that are edible. You understand? The mustard seed can be eaten. But you won't eat the seed of an orange. And I've beaten it before, have you? It tasted very bitter. Are you with me? Not all seeds are grains, but all grains are seeds. Matthew 17:20. Now look at that seed. Hold your mustard seed. Look at your mustard seed. Hold it. Feel it. Squeeze it. You can taste it even. Now that is not the smallest seed in the world. It's not the smallest seed in the world. There are smaller seeds. There are even seeds that you can't see with your naked eye, I would imagine. Yeah? But if you read from Matthew, it said if you have grain as small as a mustard. So what is the secret about this mustard seed? You know, it didn't say if you have faith as small as the smallest seed. Are you with me? That's what he said. He said if you have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed. So it's specific. It's referring to a grain. It's referring to a seed, but it's also referring to what? The mustard seed. So if we are going to unlock faith, we have to look at the mustard seed. So the first thing to unlock it is, and by the way, for the people listening, they could never have unlocked it if he did not tell them something before. So let's go to Matthew 13, which is four chapters before. Go to Matthew 13, four chapters before. I want you to understand faith, because if you understand faith, then you can live by faith, and then you can get your mountains to start moving. Matthew 13. Are you there? Verse 31 and 32. We begin to unlock that key. What is a grain of mustard seed? Sister Agnes, are you there? Matthew 13, verse 31 to 32. What is a grain of mustard seed? And how can we begin to unlock faith using that key?
Here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches.
Amen. We want to unlock the mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. It's the smallest of all the seeds. That doesn't say it's the smallest of all seeds. So what you say is smallest of all the seeds? It's just referring to a farmer in that day and the seeds they plant. So a farmer will go out in Israel or Palestine and plant seeds. But of all the seeds they plant, the mustard seed is what? The smallest of all the seeds. But it grows and becomes the biggest tree of all what is planted. I show you a mustard tree. Yeah? See that? By the way, these are some human beings for comparison. Huh? Hello? It's the smallest all the seeds. But it grows and becomes the biggest of all the trees. That is the type of faith that Jesus is talking about. Faith as a grain of mustard seed. So you see, it goes beyond the size. There is a principle he released, which we need to understand to operate faith that can move mountains. So let me go to my questions. No prizes. So first question is this. First question, okay? What is the best, most general, universal definition of a seed? Mirabel, what is the best definition of a seed? It doesn't have to be you. Okay. Yes? Give me a good definition of a seed that applies to all seeds that exist. What is a seed? Yes, somebody? Any answer we do, let's move faster. Yes, thank you.
Fresh, right? I don't know.
Seed, a seed. What, how can you define a seed? What is a seed?
A seed is the part of plants that is meant for planting. Farmers plants.
Thank you very much. Okay, let me expand your imagination. I'm not just talking about the physical seed. Any seed in the world. Yeah? You know you have seed in your body. What is the best definition of a seed that applies to all seeds? Not just the plants. Okay, so sorry, I didn't make my question as clear. Yes? I saw some hands. What is a seed?
A seed is anything you invest in that yields profits.
Yes, you are close. It doesn't hit that level, you are close. Yes, Sister PG. What is the best definition of a seed?
Yeah, a seed is any...
Yeah, she's very close, so don't move too far.
That wood or that has to be sown to reap a harvest.
Yes, that's good. That's good. But you know, I need a more sharp-shooted answer. Just okay. Yes, you've not spoken today. Yeah, yeah.
I'll say best definition of seed is to multiply.
Yes, 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 yes. You not hit it. You not hit it. I'm coming, Mr. Agnes. Yes, Agnes. What is the best definition of seed?
It's the reproduction needed.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's very scientific. Yes, let's take one more and then I'll move. What is the best, most universal definition of a seed?
A seed is anything intended for multiplication.
Anything intended for multiplication. Again, similar to Star Runkers and Star and PJ. Very close. I know I probably need to give you the answer because that's answers are correct. It's just that you're not saying it the way I want. Go on. Try to say it the way I want.
A seed is anything you plant on the ground.
No, you don't have to plant a seed. Shoot it again. Try again. Anything is a good way. I want to go that direction. Okay, let me stop. For time's sake, time has gone. Otherwise, I will not say half of what I need to say today.
So the purpose of a seed is something to grow.
Yes. Okay, let me stop there. They are correct. Please, you may want to write this down if you are writing. Seed is something you have today that can produce a harvest of what you need or want tomorrow. Anything you have today that can reproduce a harvest, which means multiple, of something you need or want tomorrow, is what? A seed. Hallelujah. Something you have today that can be invested or released or planted to produce a harvest of something you need or want tomorrow is what? A seed. And that's universal. Because anything called a seed. Hallelujah. So next question is this. What is the most powerful seed in the world? And when you give me a reason. Okay. Sister Agnes first. Agnes first, yeah. Okay. What's the most powerful seed in the world? Pamela? Sister Pamela?
Faith.
Faith. That's close, but not the perfect answer. Yes, try.
I mean, it's literally or figuratively.
I mean, literally and figuratively, I'm talking about in all space, 3D, 4D. What is the most powerful seed in the whole world?
A seed that can multiply the most.
Yes, I need in the name.
Oh.
Specifically, what is that seed that you have come across in your life that is the most powerful? I'll let your dad help you.
I think it's spoken word.
It's spoken word. You qualified it too much. It's the word of God. The word of God. The word of God is the most powerful seed in the whole world. Open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is the most powerful seed in the whole world. Open to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Someone read for me. Just a minute. Let's keep it there. You're gone.
For the word of God is alive.
Is alive and powerful.
It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joints and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires.
Amen. So please, someone, can you just lend me your mustard seed? Anybody lend me your mustard seed? Or have you thrown it away? You've thrown away a tree. You've eaten a tree. Okay, well done. Well done. Thank you very much. Thank you. You see, a seed, any seed, including the word of God, when it's presented, it may not look like much. It may not look attractive. It may look dead. I mean, this seed looks dead. Yeah? Isn't it? It looks dead. But it is full of life. In fact, the life that is in this seed is not just one tree. The life in this seed is a billion trees. It's not a billion even. It's infinite. Yeah. You know, the whole men that live in the world today came out of Adam. One man and one woman. Yeah? And we have 5 billion, 6 billion people. That's not counting the people that have died. Or the people that are dying. Yeah. In this seed is a zillion trees. Hallelujah. The seed has the power of life. Hallelujah. The word of God is alive and powerful. It's living and active. Hallelujah. But at presentation, you may not be that impressed. But as you begin to apply the principles, please give me another seed. I just lost 1 billion trees. Give me another seed. Hallelujah. A seed may look small and unattractive, yet it is full of life. So now we need to move forward and begin to ask ourselves, how do we transform a seed into a tree or into life? Hallelujah. Let me just chip this in and say, it's only a living faith that can move mountains. A dead faith cannot. Hello? You may say you have faith, just like the devils have faith. I told you already, yeah? But a dead faith cannot move mountains. Hello? It's only what? A living faith. Now, so long a seed remains alone on its own, it is dead. Hello? Where is that? I can't find it. It's dead. Nothing, no life. You can't move nothing. Even Sister Mary just swallowed it. Are you with me? It's a dead foot. Cannot move mountains. You get it? Only a living faith can move. So if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, what are you to do to that seed? Is that okay? What do you do to a seed to produce a harvest?
You plant it.
Yes?
You invest time.
You invest time. Yes. Yes, yes, grandma, I like that. Say that again. You do what? You water it. You tend it carefully and guard it jealously. Now listen to this. As long as your seed remains in your hand, it cannot produce any harvest. And it cannot move any mountain. As long as your seed remains in your stomach. Hello? And no longer in your hand. You ate it. Please turn to your neighbor and say, don't eat your seed. I know it's a grain, but don't eat it. As long as your seed remains in your stomach, it cannot produce any harvest. It can give you some energy, but it cannot multiply. Are you listening to me? Even when you take this and you leave it on the ground, it cannot produce any harvest. You must plant it in good soil. Hallelujah. You plant it in good soil. And you water it and tend it carefully. Hallelujah. Then it is a living seed. And it will produce an harvest. That is faith as a grain of mustard seed. When your faith just remains at the point of I believe, you cannot produce anything. Hallelujah. Go to James chapter 2. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, then you can say to this mountain, be removed, be cast away, and it will move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Okay? Before you go to James 2:17, let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So the first one I like to ask myself that we say the seed, the most powerful seed is the word of God, yeah? Faith is not the seed. Hello? The word is the seed, yeah? But faith, which you also answer, is connected. And I show you the connection. It's in Romans 10, verse 17. The word of God is the seed, not faith. Hello? Don't misunderstand it. The word of God is what? Is the seed, not faith. But faith is connected to that seed. And I want to show you the connection. Romans 10:17. Please, somebody who has not read today, can you read? I'll make a part 2 of this message because I will need to round up now. I've not reached halfway, but I will stop there. Maybe next week. Next week, be in church. I will continue where I stop. I will ship the message for next week and I will continue this one next week. Faith, like is it part 2? Yes?
Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing. That is hearing the good news about Christ.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's have it from the good old King James. Yes. Romans 10:17.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Let's say it together. So then, repeat faith. After me. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't matter how much, you know, positive you are. The measure of your faith is measured by the word of God that you have heard and received, not just into your head, but into your spirit. When you are facing a mountain, the word of God in your help is not the word of God in your head that will help you. So when you are facing a difficult situation, it's not the word of God that is in your head that will help you. Because that time your mind is filled with many other things. So that one can't help you. It's the word of God that has soaked in into your spirit that will rise up for you in a difficult situation. The level of your faith is proportional to the level of the word of God in your spirit. And the word of God in your spirit is never at a permanent level. You know why? Because the word of God in your spirit is constantly being used to deal with situations in life. So if I fill my spirit with the word of God and I walk away and do nothing about it, I don't tend that seed, I don't water that seed, that level will go down. If I stay away from church and I'm not hearing the word of God, it doesn't matter how positive I am, my faith will go down. Because faith is proportional to the word. Are you with me? Your faith level is proportional to the word of God that you have received, meditated upon, confessed, and practiced. Hallelujah. A good way to round up this message is James 2. Let's round up there, and we'll continue later. James 2. I just want to see the difference between a living faith and a dead faith. There are some other things I need to explain, but not today. James 2:17. So firstly, we read Romans 10:17, and finally, we're going to read James 2:17. We stop there for today. We continue next week. James 2:17. Yes, someone read for me, please. Who was going to read before Stagnus? Let's have you. James, that's the last place, and we're rounding off on that note.
So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless.
Anybody have NIV? You never hear me, you know, asking for NIV many times. But once in a while, maybe once out of 50 times, I will ask for NIV. Let's read that from NIV. You can use your electronic Bible, James 2:17 from NIV, New International Version. Yes? Yes. Do you have NIV? NIV. James 2:17 from NIV.
In the same way, faith by itself.
Faith by itself.
It is not accompanied by action.
If it is not accompanied by what?
By action, yeah.
Please read it again. Let's go again. Let's start again. Read it again. James 2:17.
In the same way. By faith itself.
Faith.
If it's not accomplished by action.
Faith
is
by itself. Not accompanied by action. Is what?
It's dead.
It's like a seed that is unplanted. Are you with me? It will not produce anything. Hallelujah. There is a difference between living faith and dead faith. The seed is the word of God. It has life in itself. It is living. It is powerful. But that seed has gone to be planted in the good soil of your heart. Amen? A good heart. You know, people say, I have a good heart. Yeah? Do you have a good heart, Mirabel?
Yes.
I know. People say, I have a good heart. But the real good heart is the heart that is willing and obedient. Hallelujah. When the heart is willing and obedient, it's a good heart. Any planted will begin to produce. Faith without corresponding action is dead. Hallelujah. So the faith that moves mountain is a faith that is accompanied by what? Action. When I say action, I'm not talking about your actions. I'm talking about actions that are acts of obedience to what you are believing for. Because anytime God wants to move in your life, yeah, he must give you a word. And you say, do this or do that. Hallelujah. That thing that God is telling you to do is the key to unlock your mountain and move it. Hallelujah. I told you, I said, if you don't have faith without the word, it doesn't matter how much positive you are and how much you believe. If it's not based on the word of God, whether written or spoken, it's not faith. It's not genuine faith. Faith is based on the word. I read in Bible and said, Bible said, by his stripes I am healed. I can hold it. I can hold on to it. And I said, God, you said this. I believe it. Now tell me what I need to do. Let me stop there. One takeaway. You know, this just tell you what I want to tell you, teach you in the next lesson, next sermon. You know, last time we said, anything you are not confessing, you are technically denying. Yeah, if you're a husband, it doesn't matter how much you love your wife. If you didn't tell her, you have denied her that love. Are you with me? So tell her every day. Don't wait until somebody is dead and you're not telling her, oh, how much I love. Tell her every day. Hallelujah. Even the love that is dying will resurrect. Amen. The same thing if you're a wife too. Don't say, oh, you know, so it's women that need to hear, I love you. My husband doesn't need to hear. You are not telling him, somebody outside is telling him. Is that good? Tell him. Anything you are not, look, if you're a Christian and you hide it from everybody, you are denying your faith. Anything you are not confessing, you are denying. It's not just negative. You know, like last time we talked about the need to admit your faults. Negative way to look at it. But there's a positive part. Your faith is not alive if it is not vocalize. Hallelujah. If you're a Christian, you never tell anybody. If you're born again, you never tell anybody you're born again. You never experience the fullness of that salvation. Because the Bible says that with the heart, man believes and is made righteous. With the what? Mouth. Everybody say mouth. Confession is made of what? salvation. Hallelujah. You have to say it. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of where? Your where? Mouth. He said, death and life are in the power of where? The tongue. Are you with me? So a living faith is a faith accompanied by confession and obedience. No, that's just a peep into next message, okay? Let's pray. Let's pray. I believe that God has spoken to you today. There is indeed a faith that moves mountains. There is indeed a faith that moves mountains. And it's faith like a grain of mustard seed. That seed must not be eaten. That seed must not be put on the hard floor. That seed must not be withheld. It's a seed that must be planted, watered, tended to, and gathered carefully. And then it can produce the harvest you want. And the key was to planting the word of God, which is the best seed in the world, is meditation, confession, and obedience. Meditation, it moves it from your head to your heart. Confession moves it from your heart to your ears. Obedience moves it from your ears to your body to act. Very important. Pray to God and say, Father, I choose to live by faith. I choose to live by faith. And I thank you because mountains in my life will begin to move as I live a life based on the word. Meditating on the word, you have to give time for that. Confessing the word and, represent, identifying and obeying the word. Mountains in my life, they will begin to move in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. You're a good Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.